Thank you so much to the guys on the video and to these guys on stage. Thank you so much for serving us this morning. At this point, I'd like to welcome our YouTube viewers and our listeners on radio. And it's such a privilege to have you with us as part of this family and an extension of this family. And hopefully my daughter and my sons and my wife are also listening because they're at home cleaning the house this morning. We had a massive party yesterday for Willem and Kate, who were about to have their baby. And we were overrun by 50-plus people, some of them even on stage this morning serving us. So thank you so much for joining us on YouTube. I have a very interesting message this morning that I want to share with you. And so I'm going to pray and then I'm going to start this message. Father, I ask that as I share this message, that those things that are of you, that we will be reminded of those things, that you will speak your word clearly into our hearts, that you will remind us of the things of old, and that you will stir new things in our hearts as we listen to your word. In Jesus' name, I ask, Father, that you will clothe me with your love as I share this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to share with you this morning on a topic called a journeying community. We've been focusing over the last while around community, and specifically this morning I want to speak around us journeying together as a community. Now, the challenge that I have is I've preached some of this before. And so today is actually a part two of a message I preached just over a year ago. Now, many of you would have been here that day, and most people who were here that day remember that day not for the message, but for the announcement that was made at the end of that message of Pastor Francois' early retirement. Yes, it's just over a year ago. And hasn't the Lord been faithful to us as a church over this last year? It's been such an amazing journey. And so what I want to do this morning is I'm going to recap some of what I shared before and then share some more and go deeper and further. On the topic of a journeying community, I'd like to first say that I'm a scuba diver. Yay! Thank goodness there's at least one other scuba diver in this room. All the scuba divers, give me a wave just so I can feel better about myself. I feel a bit lonely up here this morning. Yay, that's a good scuba diver. Double arms waving. The most intriguing dive sites in South Africa is called the Eye of the Mariku. It's beautiful dive site, very small, near the town of Groot Mariku, no surprise. And it is the eye of the fountain of the Mariku River. It's one of the only places in South Africa where you can dive in fresh water, in the middle of your dive, take out your regulator, drink fresh, clean water that's not been polluted by some human activity, put your regulator back in your mouth and continue breathing. It's one of the only places in South Africa where you can do that because we don't have so much clean water. But this is such a beautiful picture of that site. You have these plants living underwater with these long reeds going out. And those long stems that you see going up there, each one of them at the top has a couple of leaves and a water lily. So you finish your dive in this little fish pond. Not very big, it's about 15 meters across and about 15 meters deep. You finish the dive and you come out of the water and you look and you immediately just see all these lilies around you. But it is quite a small site. And this small site is the beginning of the Mariku River. The water runs from this point towards the north, and it is joined by little streams. Some really nice names here. Bokkraal se Loop. Wonder who thought of that. Another one. Ribbok van Stratens Vlei Rivier. How's that? Van Stratens Vlei. Pierre is sitting over there, and only they're Afrikaans teachers by trade, originally Pierre is. And Van Stratens Vlei Rivier. Isn't that a nice name? And so this small stream, tiny stream, flows to the north and gets joined by other tributaries, other small streams. It continues to flow and at some stage is joined by the Krokodil Rivier. Now, if you don't know which one, this is not the one that you find in Mpumalanga. This is the crocodile refuge you find at Hartbeespoort Dam, the crocodile river that fills the Hartbeespoort Dam and after that flows into the Mariku River. At the point where these two join in a confluence, the river changes name and becomes the Limpopo River, the Great Limpopo River. It flows from there and continues to be joined by other streams and is empowered to become a very big river. It forms the border first between South Africa and Botswana. Don't go there yet. Don't go there yet. Yes. You didn't see that. Wipe it from your memory quickly. It first forms the border between South Africa, Botswana, then South Africa and Zimbabwe, and then eventually flows through Mozambique to a place called Zongwen, which this is the photo of. Now you can put it on. Thanks, Roz. The mouth of the Limpopo River. I have the privilege, and not many people probably have had the privilege of diving both at the mouth of the river and standing in the sea where the river flows into the ocean. And another picture coming up there. At the point where it flows into the ocean, it's about 500 meters wide. Massive river. Average is about 170 cubic meters a second that flows into the sea. Very big river it becomes. And when I think about this river, I think of our journey with the Lord. You see, what he says is when we come to him, he places a fountain of living water inside our lives. And then he makes that river to begin to flow through our lives. He makes it to become a powerful river that is to be reckoned with, that becomes a force in our world. When I think of this story and this journey of this river, I think of one of the best, most beautiful benedictions of Scripture, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Isn't that a beautiful scripture? The Message says it this way: the amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, and the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Now, all of this I said last time I preached this, and some of what I'm going to share in the next couple of minutes will still be a repeat of last time. It's a recap. I like what the late Bob Benson says, if we hear the same stories a year later, sometimes they mean more because we've journeyed with him. If we read the same scripture a year down the line, it can mean more because we would have walked with him and known him better through his word. And so some of the things will be repeats, but hang on to your seats because we're going in a different angle at the end. John Eldridge writes in his book, Waking the Dead, of four streams that brings life and restoration and freedom into the believer's life. Four streams that brings life and restoration into our lives. These streams, he says, brings life in the dead places that's been affected by a fallen world. The four streams are the following: discipleship, healing, counsel, and warfare. And so what I want to do today is I want to speak on these four streams a little bit. The first stream, stream one, is discipleship. And discipleship has to do with the grace that the Lord Jesus brings into our lives. In this context, discipleship is not courses we do and walking alongside. It's walking with Jesus to become like him. You see, as we journey with him, and as all of us have journeyed with him in our lives, the idea is to become more like him. And so what my prayer is that when you see me next year this time, that I'll look more like Jesus, that I would have more of his kindness, that I would be more faithful, that I would have had the character of Christ formed in me in a greater way every day of my life. And so how do we do this? We tap into the grace that Jesus gives us. Grace has multiple functions, and I'm not going to focus too much on this point, but grace has multiple functions, which includes strengthening us in times of difficulty. As I read up about the Limpopo River, I found that the word Limpopo is derived from the Sotho word, which means river of many gushing waters. It's a river with many rapids. Anyone here experience rapids in your life this week or this month? You see, our lives are filled with rapids. Our lives are filled with challenges that come across our way. Our lives are filled with those moments where we are frustrated or where things will cause us to not look like Him so that He can make us to become more like Him. Just this morning, I was sitting at the traffic light and I was almost late. Anyone else almost late sometimes? The Lord's working on this with me, so I'm really trying to be more on time. And I was going to make it for the meeting this morning until there were two cars in front of me at the light, both colleagues, both heading to the church. And one of them just didn't leave for the traffic light quickly enough. How many of you know that I went before the Lord and I said, Lord, I repent. And hopefully, I'm a little bit more like Jesus now than I was earlier this morning. What He does with His grace is He helps us deal with offense and forgiveness. I was preaching some time ago in the South, in June, I was preaching in HCC South. And one of the things that I was sharing around was dealing with offense. And it was about the Tuesday before I was preaching on the Sunday, and the Lord said to me, but you can't preach this. I said, why not? He said, because you've got an offense that you've picked up against the brother, and you need to deal with that offense first. And isn't it wonderful that we can serve a God who does that, who comes to us and says, come, let's deal with your heart first so that you can look more like me. And when you then share that testimony, it'll bring life for others. And so our journey is to have this stream of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ brings into our lives. Finally, His grace gives us the opportunity to live in His favor, in the favor of the Father. The second stream we're going to talk about is the stream of healing. Now, the stream of healing has to do with experiencing and knowing the love of our Father God. As we journey in our lives, things happen. Things happen that cause difficulty, that cause pain. Maybe a misunderstanding, a harsh word spoken by someone, a negative, a curse spoken over you by someone. And the Father comes with His love, and He gently presses His finger on that place so that He can heal and restore us. How many of you this morning needs a touch of healing in your heart because of something that's happened in your life? I wonder. Maybe sitting at home and there's difficulties and brokenness in your heart. We all have places of brokenness. We all have places of brokenness in our lives. And it's for us to go before the Lord and say, Father, let Your love come and heal me. Bring the stream of Your love to restore my heart. And so as we journey with Him and we know His love more, it affects how He sees us, how He treats us, and how He heals our hearts. I love this scripture, 1 John 3, verse 1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, He doesn't hold back, does he? When he pours out his love in our lives. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. We are his children. The third stream is the stream of counsel. Now, with counsel specifically, we're speaking here about the fellowship and the coaching of the Holy Spirit. And I wasn't going to say it this way, but as we were worshiping, I realized, and the Lord just spoke this in my heart. He said, "Hardy, many people know me as they know me, the Holy Spirit, as the Comforter, but not many know me as the Counselor." Wow. Think about that. How many times do you go to the Holy Spirit for comfort, and how many times do you go to the Holy Spirit for counsel? That he would release the wisdom of the Father into your life. That he would coach you in terms of the things that he wants to establish in your life. I found it quite astonishing as I was preparing this message that when Vasco da Gama, the Portuguese explorer, first saw the Limpopo River mouth at Zonguin, he called it the Espírito Santo River, the river of the Holy Spirit. And so the invitation from the Lord is that there would be a stream in our lives of the Holy Spirit's counsel. Counsel is defined as this. It's how he walks with us to form Christ in us and to release both the wisdom, power, and the gifts of the Spirit through us. And so do I know the Holy Spirit as a counselor, as one who counsels, one who brings direction, clarity, and wisdom? In my life, I shared some of this before. Over the last couple of years, I've experienced in a great way the Holy Spirit as my counselor, as the one who gives guidance in my life. And specifically in the area of my health. A couple of years ago, just over 2 years ago, I was heavily overweight. You may not tell that by looking at me now. Not really. I still have a bit to go. But I was trying to lose weight, and I would go on a diet, and I would lose some weight, and the weight would come back with interest every time, as it often does. And if you're living in the favor of God, the interest is quite high. And so at some stage, I remember it was on the 10th of May, 2 years ago. I went before the Lord and I said, "I can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore." And he said, I'll guide you. I'll coach you and I'll teach you." People ask me, how did I lose all the weight that I have? I don't actually know. You know what he did? He took one habit at a time, and he changed it. I didn't realize that. He just said, for the next couple of weeks, cut this thing out. A couple of weeks later, he'd say, okay, now change this. Now do this. And he coached me to the point that I've now lost about 18 kilograms. I have much less issues with my back. I used to go to the physio every week because of my back. I hardly ever go anymore. My lungs are better. I sometimes struggle with a bit of asthma. I don't anymore. My lungs are much better than they used to be. The doctor says I'm in the best health he's ever seen me. He's seen me every year for the last 10 years for a checkup. He says I'm in the best health I've ever been. But he did it by coaching me one little bit of it at a time. And the thing is not this morning about losing weight, although in losing weight, I've had a great opportunity to get a new wardrobe, which has been wonderful. If anyone wants a good excuse for a new wardrobe, that is a good one right there. But in your business or in your family, he wants to coach you. He wants to come alongside and give you wisdom and insight in the little things. In your job, in your workplace, With us at the moment, it's about getting our kids to sleep through. And he's coaching us on that. And so the invitation from the Holy Spirit is, I want to come alongside you and coach you and bring you into the fullness of what the Father has for you. When we do that, we partner with the Holy Spirit, and he can do what only he can do. I love the word that Mary shared this morning around us being this tornado that brings the praise and the prayers to the Lord, and that brings devastation to the enemy. But here's the fact of the matter. Without the Holy Spirit in our lives, we can't. We can't. And now for the fourth stream. The fourth stream is the stream of warfare. Now, the stream of warfare has to do with us not just standing it alone, but fighting in community. Over the last 18 months or so, our focuses for the different terms of the year of the 18 months has been the following. It's been walking with Jesus, stream one. Then it was experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit, stream three. And then it was the love of the Father, stream two. So one, two, and three are covered. And at the moment, what are we busy focusing on? Community. Doesn't that just make you excited? It made me excited when I realized that we've actually been focusing on these four streams for the last 18 months. I had a friend who used to say the following. He said, it's wonderful to serve the Lord, and it's wonderful to know his Spirit and to know his love in our hearts. And he said this, but sometimes we need a Facebook. Sometimes we need a human being, a person that can walk alongside, that is, that we can touch physically, that we can recognize as someone who the Lord speaks through and into our lives. Sometimes we need stuff like the following. Unami, where's Unami? Please stand quickly. Unami is a product of the Hatfield Christian School. He's come through. I tried to figure out how many years ago, but he was playing bass this morning. And the hair is awesome. It is great. It's great to see how you've grown in the Lord. And I want to honor you for that. Thank you. And I'm not the only one who said the hair is great, because I overheard Pastor Sid saying to the guy next to him, one day you must have hair like that. Sometimes we just need a human touch. We need a human connection to bring the fullness of what God has for us. I saw, when I started this message, I said we had a big party yesterday. We really had a big party yesterday with tons of people. And actually, our house looks quite nice afterwards. But we're part of a community. We are part of, my wife and I and our family are part of a community in our life group. And it would be impossible for us to fully know the Lord if it wasn't for people who walk alongside us in community. Now, maybe you're not in a community, and I want to encourage you, open up a stream for the Lord to bring you to the fullness of what he has. And that community may not be a life group. It may be the worship family. It may be a volunteer family. I look at some of our volunteers, and they're a very close-knit community that's growing together to see the fullness of God established in each other's lives. But what we do in community is we can fight alongside each other to bring the fullness of God in our lives. I believe that as we're sitting here today, some of us are isolated in our journey. Some of us feel alone. Some of us need accountability. We need community around us to fight with us. And what the Lord says to each one of us is, don't try to go it alone. Do not try to go it alone. Get alongside my people. Press in. What John Eldridge says in that book of his, the four streams are something we learn, we grow into. I'll read that again. The four streams are something we learn and grow into and offer one another in a small fellowship. So when we're sitting in our small fellowship, in close-knit community, in close relationships, what we're doing is we're offering each other access into the love of God, the counsel of the Holy Spirit, the grace of Jesus, the grace that Jesus brings, and the love that we show each other. He says, we hear each other's stories. This sounds like our life group when we meet together. We hear each other's stories. We discover each other's glories. When was the last time you discovered someone else's glory? I want to honor Roselle for a moment. It's her birth week. I don't believe in birthdays, I believe in birth weeks. So it's her birth week. And I went to her while we were worshiping and I said, won't you take up the offering this morning? And she did such a good job. Well done. Yeah, well done. But we discover each other's glories as we walk in community. We learn to walk with God together. We pray for each other's healing. We cover each other's back. This small core fellowship is essential to the Christian life. And then he says this. He says, Jesus modeled a smaller group, close community for a reason. He says, yes, he preached to large crowds, but Jesus lived in a close-knit community because he knew that that's what we were made for. And if you're not connected to God's people, you may end up like that word that we had this morning, in a pool, struggling to stand. And what God says is, come, find solid ground in me and be connected to my people. I'm standing here and I know there's something else on my notes I need to do, so. The invitation from the Lord is for us to see the streams of his life released in our lives. And so as we journey together, what I want to do is tell you a little story that I realized one day about David. I was battle-weary one day. Anyone else ever been battle-weary? It's a couple of years ago, quite a few years ago, I was battle-weary. I was sitting at home. A lot of the things I was trusting the Lord for, I had not seen yet. Praying for a wife, didn't get a wife, tried many times, didn't get a wife. Yes, some of you were part of that journey, so. The ones who are laughing the loudest are the ones who prayed the hardest. Alongside with this journey, there's a couple of other things that wasn't coming right, and I wasn't getting free from things. And I had a friend who we used to joke and say, yes, this and this is true, but you don't know the real me. You don't know the deepest, darkest things in my life. So I was sitting with all of these things, battle-weary, and the Lord took me to the life of David. And he said this. He said, doesn't matter where David went or what David did, he always went back to the river. Whatever you're facing in your life, always go back to the river. How do I know that's true of David? Because he wrote it in Psalm 23. He leads me beside quiet waters. David always returned to the river. And our invitation, Father's invitation to us, is to always return to the streams that he brings in our lives to bring life in abundance. We were in the Kruger Park just over a week ago. And seeing the Kruger Park in this time of drought, just the rivers running low. Some of my favorite rivers that I know well in my heart because I've been to them so often, running dry, not running at all. And as I drove there, I thought, Lord, this is so sad. And then as I was preparing this message, I felt the Lord said this. He said, some of my people's rivers are running low. So maybe this morning, your river is running low in terms of one of those four streams. And he wants to come alongside and fill you and refresh you. And what I want to do is I want to read Psalm 65. Maybe I'll just read these three verses. Psalm 65, verse 9 to 11. But please go and read Psalm 65 for yourself. But it says this. You, the Lord, you care for the land and water it. You enrich it abundantly. The streams of God are full of water. Are filled with water to provide the people with grains, and for so you haven't ordained it. He wants a harvest in your life. He wants your life to become a living river that flows along with other rivers in terms of his people, so that we can see a harvest come in this nation and in this city. The streams of God are filled with water to provide the people with grain, for so you have ordained it. You drench its furrows and level its ridges. You, Lord, soften it with showers and bless its crops. We need more of the river, the streams of God. And then it says this, so beautiful, one of my favorite scriptures. You crown the year with your bounty, and your carts overflow with abundance. Isn't that a beautiful, beautiful promise from the Lord? I need my tissue again. If your river is running low, then my prayer for you this morning, and what I want to invite you into in terms of a prayer, is that your river would go, and unfortunately I have to quote one of my daughter's favorite movies here, that your river would go from a trickle to a roar. See, the Limpopo River starts at the Mariku Oog as a small little trickle. It barely flows out of that big pond, but it becomes a mighty river that brings life. All everywhere where it flows, it brings life. You look at it from the sky, and you see this green line as life follows the river. God's inviting us into a new and fresh life with his river. But we won't have it without these three things: without the love of the Father, the grace that Jesus brings, the companionship, friendship, and coaching of the Holy Spirit, and walking alongside in community as we journey together. John 7, verse 37, 38. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture says, rivers of living waters will flow from within them." We go back to that slide with the four rivers on it, the four streams. What Jesus is saying in John 7 is, start somewhere. Start by coming to me. And I will bring fresh living waters out of your innermost being. And so these four streams seem to be the things that bring life. There are other things that will bring life in terms of dead areas of your life. But if we can focus on these four this morning, and what is the one of those four that the Lord wants you to take a step in today? And maybe it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit again. Maybe it is to make a commitment towards living more in community and not being isolated. Maybe it is to say, Father, I've been hurt and broken. I need to know more of your love. And maybe it is to say, Holy Spirit, I need more of your counseling in my life. I need you not just as a comforter, but as a counselor who teaches me as I journey. And so this morning, as we close this service, I want to pray for people, for these four streams to be released in a new and a fresh way for each one of us. So I want to invite you to stand. If one of those four streams speaks directly to you, that there's something that you need to do to take a step forward, won't you stand? And believe me, I'm standing too. I need more of the Holy Spirit in my life. I need more of the Holy Spirit's power in my life. Just to share a short momentary testimony. Last week in this service, I was standing down there, service directing. Pastor Sid was preaching and he was praying for healing. And I had like four things I needed to pray for. So he said, put your hand on the place that needs healing. And I had my hand, one hand on my knee, and I was trying to stand all funny. But the biggest one for me was my knee, because I was struggling to exercise. And this week was the first time I was able to exercise without pain in my knee in a long time. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Sid. But you know what? If I wasn't in community, or if I wasn't here, I wouldn't have been prayed for. That's the invitation from the Father, that these four streams will flow together in our lives. So let's pray. Father, in Psalm 65, you say, your streams are filled with water. And we pray, Father, that there will be streams in the desert in our lives today. For each one of these four streams, and for different people standing for different streams, I ask that you will come and that you will let the river rise. That you will unlock in us fountains of living water. Fill us again with your Spirit, Father. Show us, teach us your love. And in a new way, release your grace in our lives. That we would be a community that would be like that tornado, Father, that brings change in this city. Destruction to the enemy's kingdom, and establishes the kingdom of God in our city. In Jesus' name. While you're standing, let's just be quiet for a moment. Just let that settle. Either the decision you've made or the prayer that I've prayed. Just let it settle in your heart. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated, and I'm going to finish off with one final story. As we were driving in the Kruger Park last week, we were driving and I kept on going, thinking in my head, okay, the next river, I know that's how it looks and it's not going to have water because everything else is dry, so this one will be dry too. And we were driving and we came across one tiny stream that I know the stream well. I know we often see predators in the sand, lying in the sandbanks and so on. And I thought to myself, well, this one's going to be dry because it's always dry. Only to be surprised to see that one of the smallest streams in the Kruger Park was flowing, because it's flowing from a fountain that hasn't died. As we go into this week, let us flow from a fountain that doesn't die. And I pray that you will surprise people around you with the life, the joy, and the character of Jesus Christ as he walks with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for joining us for this service. I'm going to release you. Enjoy your Sunday. And for those of you who are that way inclined, enjoy watching the golf. Pastor Louis will be back next week. He's taken some time away for the school holidays, but he'll be back next week, and we're looking forward to hearing from him next week. Enjoy your Sunday. There will be prayer in the front if you need personal prayer. The prayer team and the pastors and the shepherds will be here. Thank you.